Let's go ahead and do these. You guys are ready. Hey, we started with Spanish last time. Let's do that again. Yo soy lo que la parábola de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la parábola de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la parábola de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la parábola de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Yay! And if you didn't believe it in Spanish, let's try English. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Well, do you believe it? Yay! Okay, let's go ahead and get my computer organized here. It's got a full screen thing, so I'm changing that. Exit full screen. Okay, perfect. Well, this little teaching basically is full of anecdotes and guidance for relevant and extremely current situations. And it's called Peace or a Sword. And we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 10. And the entire teaching, this little teaching, comes from Matthew chapter 10. But I know those of you who are adept at working the Word and studying and searching the Scriptures daily will have other references that you could apply to this as well. Okay, so I'm going to give you a tiny bit of background, and then I want to get into the Word. Actually, I'm a real believer in letting the Word speak for itself. I have a feeling you guys are too. We want to let the Word of God speak for itself and let that be our primary source of discourse. You know, you got all kinds of feelings that come up in you. You got all kinds of reasonings, all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of memories. There's just a lot of things that come up in you. You got a lot of feelings. You got a lot of sights, images, sounds. Yep, you got lots of different things that come up inside of you. But the only thing that really matters is the Word of God. So I believe that, yeah. And I really like to stick to it. So we're going to stick to that in this little teaching. Now, we're in Matthew chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 27. And before I start reading, I want to say that the time is upon us, necessitating the review of Jesus' prophetic words regarding the family. If you have children, you have a family. If you are a child of someone, you came from a family. It is this family that I am speaking of, not the body of Christ family. So let's take a look at verse 27 and begin there. We're going to go from verse 27 to 36. Fear them not, therefore, and you can read the context of this later, but this is where I chose to begin. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Let those words ring loud and clear. People think they can hide things, but trust me, this word stands. And hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear that preach ye upon the housetops. Well, we're told to speak the word. If you hear God's word in dark situations, run for the light and speak God's word. The spoken word of God changes everything. If you hear the spoken word, proclaim it everywhere. If God cast his word into your heart, those are pearls. Share them with others. Boy, if that isn't exciting. Verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear them, him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Oh my gosh, let's go ahead and start a religion on hell and believe that there's a hell. But wait a minute, we should look at the Greek word. Okay, hell comes from Gehenna, which means the grave. Okay, you can call it hell if you want. The translators wanted to, but I don't want to. So, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him, and it's referring to God, which is able to destroy both soul and body in the grave. Well, people who don't believe are going to face that, but not us. We're Christians, okay? Jesus was not speaking to Christians, but we are Christians, and we can learn from this. So, do not fear man. That's the message. So we've had two messages so far. Speak the word and don't fear man. Oh my gosh. Man wants you to be afraid of him. Oh yeah. Man wants you to be scared. Oh yeah. Man wants you to quiver and quake. Oh yeah. There's a real perversion that runs through man. And somehow, some way, it gets triggered, and then they get off on scaring people, intimidating people, abusing people, acting bigger, more powerful, whatever the case may be. Well, stop fearing man. That's the message. Stop fearing man. Why would you be afraid of a man? Why? Why would you be afraid of a man? That's the message. Then, verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father. Well, God really cares about his little birdies. Even these little birdies that could be bought and used for sacrifices. People might want to have a pet out of one. I don't know. A farthing, that's like pennies, nothing. But if one of those things of almost no value at all falls to the ground, God knows. That's because he cares. Verse 30, but the very heads, hairs of your head are numbered. Wow. He knows how many hairs you have. Yeah, I know for some of you it changed from yesterday to today, but that's okay. He still knows the number. Don't you worry about that. And that's because he cares. He cares for you. God cares for you. Well, that's a message. So we've gotten three messages. Speak the word. Do not fear man. God cares for you. Oh, yeah, baby. We're liking this, aren't we? Verse 31, fear ye not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. No fear, no fear, not only of man, but in general. You don't need to just walk around being afraid. Just stop it. If he tells you to not fear, that means you can not fear. So if you are fearful, you can stop it. You can actually change. Well, now I'd say that's a beautiful thing. That's what my preacher when I was a kid used to tell me about sex. I said, can you tell me the facts of life? Because my dad was in Vietnam and, man, I wanted to know everything about sex. And all he told me was, it's a beautiful thing. Oh, my goodness. That did nothing for me. So, okay, a little off track, but got your attention, didn't I? It's a beautiful thing that God cares for you. Then we've got another message. And in verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Well, look at the flip side. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. This is heavenly stuff, okay? This is not earthly realm stuff. This is a consequence of what happens on earth. But these things that Jesus is speaking of, it's all about what's going on in heaven. And so Christ is on your side. Confess him. And you have. You've said, Jesus is my Lord. And you confess him before others. You talk about him, that Jesus Christ is inside you. It's God in Christ in you. Well, if you do that, Christ confesses you before God the Father in heaven. Well, this is a powerful thing. And it's something that will help you move from darkness to light. That's what we started talking about. It's about things hidden in that darkness. If you hear something in darkness, well, there was a lot of darkness back then, and there is today. If you're hearing things in darkness, Christ and the light of the word that Christ represents will help you get out of that darkness. That's the point. Confess Christ. Well, if you deny Christ, Christ will deny you to the Father. That's a heavenly thing. You can't go run up to him and pull on his shirt tail and say, please, please, don't tell him, don't tell him. Sorry, that's what happens to unbelievers. You're not an unbeliever, though. Don't worry about it. But Jesus is teaching that. And this is also powerful. It removes these people from heavenly possibilities. When you confess Christ and Christ confesses you to God, it removes you from dark things, like the dark realm, and it puts you into the heavenlies. These Christ deniers, they're never going to get to heaven. They aren't going to have heavenly possibilities except for the great judgment. They'll forever remain in darkness. And then we have verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Wow. So we have peace or a sword. That's interesting. If you think that Jesus came to bring peace, you are sadly mistaken. And maybe you've been deceived into thinking that. I don't know. Search your heart. If you feel embattled within your family, there's a prophetic reason for it. Verse 35, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Wow. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. So if you feel embattled in your familial situation, you need to remember, and this is one of the reasons Jesus is teaching this for you, that he did not come to send peace, to bring peace, but a sword. Well, what is that talking about? There's going to be division. If you're a believer, if you've confessed Christ, then God has gone I mean, Jesus has gone to God and confessed you to the Father. You are locked in, baby. You are a heavenly creation now. Those people who deny Christ, no, they don't get any of this stuff. But you do. And so those people will be against Christ. Well, they are. That's why they deny him. And so even in your family, if you have Christ deniers, and that you might not believe, you might not accept that sword. But let me tell you, when that sword comes at you, you need to recognize it for what it is. And that's why we have these words of prophecy. Jesus did not come to bring peace, but a sword. In his presence, with his people on earth, there will be divisions. Sorry, but it's true. Can you stop it? Nope. You can't go run after him. Oh, please, Jesus, please don't let this happen. Please. I don't want swords. I want peace. You can't do that. Come on, man. Face up to it. Realize this is truth. The divisions, Jesus cites some of them, but not all of them, in order to focus on the meaning upon the earthly family and what believers within that family will have to endure. A man, like a son, it's talking about, against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Maybe some of us have been so deceived that we don't believe this. Maybe we laugh at it. Maybe we scoff at it. Maybe we say, oh, no, not me. Be very careful with that because of what Jesus said in verse 36. A man's foes, he didn't list anything but one, shall be they of his own household. Wow. He didn't say Satan. He didn't give some other name, some other person, the police, something. He didn't say anything, but of his own household. Oh my gosh. What do we do with that? Well, we believe it. That's what we do. You're not going to change it, and you're not going to run after him and have him change it. So there's a conclusion to this. Speak God's word after you have been delivered from darkness. Do not fear man, period. God cares for you always and forever. Confess Christ publicly without hesitation. Christ brought the sword. Stop wishing things were more peaceful. Just get off of that thing. It's hurting you. It's not going to happen. Your real foes will be, or are, those of your own household. And those are prophetic words. Thank you.